if I was a business owner and I wanted to use AI for scheduling home cleaning appointments, that would be very different if I was a business owner giving advice on prescription medication. So it sounds like it's fair to say some businesses, you got to be careful before you just implement something.
Absolutely. Well said. Every use case has its own level of accuracy that is expected.
Hello, David here at merchantaccounts.ca with another episode of the podcast. So I was speaking with someone the other day and they mentioned that they use AI to respond to their emails. And I mean, like I knew that technology was there, I knew it existed, but I figured it would be like Microsoft or some other huge companies that are taking advantage of it. So that made me think that AI is more accessible for small businesses than I'd realized. And I feel like I've just kind of missed the boat on it. I definitely am not an expert on it. So that's what I want to talk about today because it's all new to me. So I decided to bring on an expert, Rob Pacinelli of The Best Media. Rob's worked in digital media and marketing for many, many years. And he was one of the first people that I know that jumped in as AI really started to become more accessible to regular businesses. So Rob volunteered to subject himself to my questions today, and I'm just going to jump right in. So Rob, thanks for joining.
Yes.
Yeah. Perfect. I'm going to start right here. I'm fanatical when it comes to like marketing, customer relationships, and being protective of your brand, which actually is something that I expect as kind of like marketing and stuff you'd have kind of the same feelings about. So is AI ready for prime time? Not like press one for sales or two for support. Is it actually able to be helpful to most businesses at this point?
Absolutely, yes. Overwhelmingly, yes, David. So today, AI can literally understand communications both in text and voice audio just as well as a human, and it can analyze and create tasks and go through automations, and sky's the limit. Wow. So overwhelmingly yes is my answer, and the pace at which this technology is increasing is rapid. So what happened in the last 20 years, as an example, with our cell phones and how quickly things moved and improved, you're going to see a 10x effect. It will get so much better so fast, we're not even going to believe what's going to happen in the next 2 to 5 years.
It's interesting. I was just saying this to someone the other day, off on a little bit of a tangent, but Rob, we're roughly about the same age. Pong. Do you remember Pong? You know, with that little video game, you just yes. Turn the dial on the two little. So, like, think of Pong, what was that, 40 years ago? And think of video games today, where it's almost a really well-rendered game is almost impossible. You have to look twice to be like, wait, is this footage or is this a game? So, if we can do that in a video game, like, I can only imagine how fast AI is going to scale. But nevertheless, it's learning and it's getting better. Humans are allowed to make mistakes. So why should I hold AI to a higher standard? But here's the thing. I am going to hold AI to a higher standard. I'm worried about misrepresenting important information. Like, I'm already good at putting my foot in my mouth. I don't want a computer to do that for me. So what are the risks that can happen if you use AI to correspond with customers? Like, if you're AI, like, is it just reading the email, responding completely? Or are you doing light touch edits before it goes out? Like, maybe you can help me out with this.
Absolutely, you bring a very good point to the table. There is a lot of concerns when it comes to that. And my answer is garbage input equals garbage output. I know it sounds simple, but that's really the whole of it. So I'll give you an example. I have a client in New Jersey. They were very, very particular in terms of not having the AI communicate in a way that would hold them liable. So A, they took out specific insurance policies against the AI specifically to protect them just in case it does something that holds them liable. And B, the amount of testing that we did before deploying these solutions was immense to ensure that all areas are covered. So the potential for these issues to happen are huge. However, just like anything, if you're prepared and you do best practice, meaning you're testing, and I always tell my clients as well too, there always is going to be something that does not go well. And what happens is we take that as an opportunity to improve and we optimize the logic further. So when these instances happen, we take them as a learning lesson. We have to expect that they're going to happen. So it's a matter of having the right expectations because it is not perfect. And it's a matter of just optimizing whenever a bad situation takes place to make sure it doesn't happen again. So I hope that answers the question.
It totally does, and it tells me something. Because it is ready for prime time, but I'm going to pin you to this question. It's like, if I was a business owner and I wanted to use AI for scheduling home cleaning appointments, that would be very different if I was a business owner giving advice on prescription medication. So it sounds like it's fair to say some businesses, you got to be careful before you just implement something.
Absolutely. Well said. Every use case has its own level of accuracy that is expected and needed. So absolutely, when prescribing medication, there's a complete different level of quality control, if we want to call it that, that needs to take place. And I hope that answers the question.
Well, that makes sense. It does. And so it leads to another question. So I've worked in payments for 24 years. I still learn every day. Back when I was younger, maybe this is just a random business thing, but I was always, I wouldn't say afraid, but especially if I was going on a webinar or something, I was always afraid that the guest would ask me a question that I didn't know. And as I got older, I realized there's nobody that knows anything close to everything in this industry. You're not supposed to know everything. It's kind of impossible. But the reason I went off on that tangent is my industry is e-commerce is pretty complicated. Payments and interchange, and there's a lot of unique things to it. So you've implied or you've said in this email that AI is teachable. So how do you go about doing that? If you have a business, I'm just going to cherry pick a business that, maybe I should let you give an example. It would make far more sense. But how do you get it to start being able to perhaps respond to emails and inquiries? And then how do you get it up to the level where it's like, hey, I can feel good about what it's doing now?
So there's a few levels of technologies at play here. So let's start with the actual language models. ChatGPT is the most popular one today. There's many other ones like that, but these language models are essentially the brains or the CPU of the system, where let's go back a year ago compared to now, it's a world of difference. So how you were able to interact and how these language models were able to understand and communicate, the rapid pace of improvement is astonishing. So what was able to be done 6 months ago to now is massively different. And some examples are the ability to do voice and to make phone calls and to search the web. So I remember when I started using ChatGPT, you would have to use other third-party add-ons or tools to actually search the web. So you have the ChatGPT, the brains that would do the analysis, and then you needed something separate to connect to it to search the web. And then the ChatGPT would analyze it. But now, as an example, and this happened last year, I can't remember, around October, November, but ChatGPT was upgraded to be able to actually search the web. Now it can create pictures. Now it can actually make phone calls, receive phone calls, all these types of capabilities. And
sort of cut in, it can place an outbound phone call?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible. I actually have solutions now that I'm deploying, and I'd love to, you know, maybe even do a quick demo here. We could do it live. That might be pretty cool. But we could deploy an AI voice assistant in 24 hours that could literally replace any human to do any task, to take incoming calls, book appointments, answer questions, check on order status, and even do transfers. So let's say they want to speak to David, for example, it could transfer to you or, you know, get back to them. And it could initiate other automations or workflows. So yeah, sky's the limit here, and this is just the start. Like the AI voice assistant option is something just new. Yeah.
It's wild. Like, this is the Wild West to me. So this may not be the question that my viewers have, but I can only interact the way my brain works. Like, you're talking about so many integration points into a business. I want to get into that, but let me start with a simple question. Just on email, does it integrate into like any email client? Like, I use Outlook. Some people use Gmail. If your emails are popping into your Outlook, like, how does ChatGPT even see the emails? And then how does it compose response and send them out? Or, and sorry, and not necessarily
Well,
ChatGPT, just whatever one.
yeah, like ChatGPT is one example of a language model, right? So there's many other ones, and so we have a language model, and that can't do anything on its own. So we need to be able to connect that to your email somehow. So how do we do that? So there's automation platforms. Some of the most popular are like make.com or n8n for those that are more advanced. These platforms allow you to A, connect your ChatGPT to it, B, connect your email, and then with some simple configuration, you're able to tell it, okay, anytime I get an incoming email, these are my instructions. This is what I want you to do. For example, A, determine if this is an existing client. If it is an existing client, I want you to do this, and this. If it's a spam email, I want you to do this. If this is a new customer inquiry, I want you to do this. And that's really, in essence, how it works. And these automation platforms allow you to create all of these functionalities or automations where it could look at your email, it could look at your contact list, it could look at your calendar to see when David's available and book a potential consultation with David only when you're available. And you could set the parameters of, hey, I only want to be available Monday to Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. as an example. And yeah, so I think that answers the question.
It totally does. And I just like, I keep sometimes I date myself because, like, over 20 years ago, I was a programmer. And back then, everything, and I mean everything, was proprietary. And now you have Make, and there's another, oh, Zapier, however you pronounce it. Like, they connect this to that and this to this. And so, of course, as soon as you answered the question, it made logical sense. You don't have to stop using Outlook. You don't have to change how you answer your emails. You're using Make, you're using a third-party platform. And it will receive a copy of those emails. It can interact with them and send things out on behalf of you. So it's supplemental to you. It does not replace you. Is that a reasonable way to state that?
Yeah, well said, 100%. Definitely something I wanted to touch upon. The biggest myth I hear, and often many people are repeating, is that AI is going to replace humans. Unfortunately, we are at least 3 to 5 years away from that. I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
Oh, so we have a couple more years of work left. Okay, got it.
Yeah. 100%. I can't really see, like, I believe 3 to 5 years from now, AI systems will be more capable and more intelligent than humans, unfortunately. And I'm just going off of the true experts, like Elon Musk has said this, Sam Altman, all the smartest people in the industries have mentioned this. And yeah, so I think we got at least 3, 5 years before that happens. And yeah, it's I'm sorry, what was the topic we were talking about here? What
Well,
was the
yeah,
specific
I
question?
mean,
I kind of went off
we're
on a
just
tangent.
chatting about how it all integrates and everything connects together. But Sam Altman and ChatGPT and Grok and Microsoft has its one. Is there one that you think, for the purpose of corresponding with customers, emails, and business communications, is there one that you think is leading the pack, or at least looks like it will be leading the pack?
ChatGPT, and again, things could change tomorrow. Things could.
Right. Every time they compile a new model, it seems like it's like an arms race. Okay.
Exactly. And I have yet to even test out the new ones like DeepSeek, et cetera, they're on my list to do, but it's, there's just so many things that are improving and getting better every day. It's just not enough time. But I'm drawing a blank again. What were you talking about?
Well, we're just talking about the different models, and you made the point that ChatGPT is a pretty good one. And you know, I did want to ask you something else, Rob, which is that if I always go back to this old example, if I had a 1 pound rare blue diamond and I said, I will sell this to you for $1 million, am I overcharging you by like $500,000, or am I undercharging you by 99 million? I don't know what the world's largest rare blue diamond is. I have no idea what it costs to integrate and set this all up. And just so people have a ballpark point of reference, for a typical mid-sized business, they want to start using AI to not replace their employees, but take some of the pressure off maybe easier inquiries. How expensive and hard is it to set up?
We can use a lot of these technologies at no cost. That's the most incredible part of all of this.
Wow.
ChatGPT is available for free. There's free accounts. Of course, they have a lot of limitations, but all the other models have free versions as well. So there's no excuse for anyone not to jump in today and get their feet wet. And a lot of people, I feel, just, they don't even scratch the surface. They do a few things and they think they understand it all, but I'm into this daily for years now, and it every day just gets, there's more to learn, and yeah, there it just, the pace of improvement is rapid. So you kind of need to focus on certain pillars of this to become an expert, because if you're in all these, you know, if you're in everything, you're not going to become an expert in anything. So yeah, you really have to focus and actually use these AI models to help you too. So all these questions would be great to actually have a conversation with ChatGPT yourself.
That's hilarious.
I'm not even kidding. It will do an amazing job, and I've seen people actually build relationships and, you know, have conversations like it's their best friend, and they're asking them relationship advice, and it's incredible how it actually interacts and understands. So it's pretty impressive.
It is. And while you were speaking, we both have a background in web, and while you were speaking, something occurred to me. It was it's like this clear signal. I always said, if you give a startup, a pure startup, $1 million to build their website, you will have a $100,000 website and $900,000 wasted. And the reason I say that is a startup doesn't know what its problems are. Like, you could buy a platform with every option, every feature, and, you know, automate. You can build to the moon, but you can't solve a problem that you don't know you have. So it sounds to me like, yeah, AI is cool. It can do lots of good stuff. But if you're a business owner, would you agree that you should probably figure out, hey, what are your problems? What are the things that are sucking the most time away from you for the most redundant tasks that you could get off your plate? Is that probably a good starting point to look at how AI could benefit your business?
100%. You hit the nail on the head there. Taking things that you do repeatedly is a great way to start, the easiest way to start and get your feet wet. And I'll give you an example. Let's go back to your email example. A great simple way to train your AI assistant to answer emails in your voice, in the ways that you've replied to them, would be my idea, or my recommendation would be as follows. So A, you use a platform to connect your AI language model, ChatGPT in this case, to your email. And then you write an instruction set that says, I want you to go through all my sent and received emails for the last year, understand my brand voice, understand, you know, all the types of communications I had. And going forward, I want you to replicate my replies for all my future emails. That's a really rough job, but I think you get the point here. So with that simple instruction, it's taking all your data from the last year And it's so intelligent that just through that instruction set that I gave, which was very clunky and rough, it will still take it, understand what we're saying, go through all that data, and it will quickly bring itself up to speed. And now it's receiving emails, it's creating a draft, and it's maybe putting it into a bucket for you to approve. So now, instead of just letting it send it off, because it will make mistakes eventually, and I would recommend starting it off where, hey, you're just getting these drafts created and you're approving them. So you're quickly reading through each one. Yeah, this is good. Send. Oh, this one needs a little bit of edit. And then you take that problem or that issue or what you didn't like about that, and then you need to add another instruction in there so that doesn't happen again. And that's really the short and sweet of it.
That, you know, while you were talking, you just keep making me think of these really interesting, all of these different ways that you can use AI. It can touch on so many parts of your business. But one of the things in my mind that I'm wondering is, as opposed to, like, I'm just too conservative by my nature, would it be possible to set up ChatGPT or an alternative to read my emails, parse them, respond back to them, but don't send them out, send them to me so I can screen it and then forward it on? Can it compose it but not get it to the customer?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I was trying to say. Put it in a draft mode, right? Or put it in a bucket for you to approve or something like that.
And would it just show up in Outlook or something? Is that how that would work?
Sky's the limit. It's up to you. You can dictate anything. We can write to Google Sheets. We can create an audio file where it's actually putting it in. So now you're just listening to the emails that it's writing for you. Sky's the limit. We can create an AI avatar of you. So it's an actually video avatar that looks, sounds like you, and it can be reading it back to you. So that's a real extreme example, but yeah, that's...
It's wild. You know, you made me think of something else. When I was in high school and I was learning BASIC, my uncle blew my mind because he used, the name's gonna escape my mind. It was the old punch card one, where you literally had to load your punch cards in, and at the end of, the year, they would try and compile the program that you wrote. And I thought, that's so ridiculous, that's insane. Now, meanwhile, I feel like children now are gonna go to high school and learn programming, and I'll be talking to them going, yeah, when I was in high school, if you forgot the semicolon, the thing just didn't run. But it sounds like AI, you made me think of this because you said you just have to give it a rough instruction set. It's smart and intuitive. That's the point of it. So the better input you give it, the better it will do. But it will help you get off and running because it's being built to be intuitive from the sounds of it.
100%. I literally speak to it like a human, and it does a great job understanding.
Amazing. So the purpose of this podcast discussion was talking about how to use AI to compose, respond to emails and that type of things. But you touched on something, I just have to bring it up. When I started hearing about AI years ago, the job that came to my mind is what I would, at least to me, it would be the worst job in the world, which would be outbound sales. At merchantaccounts.ca, 24 years, we've never done outbound sales, for good or bad. All of our clients come to us, they enjoy working with us. We've never done one cold call. I'm not even saying that's a good thing. It's just, I don't like that type of marketing. I don't like that hard sale. I just don't have the heart for it. But I guess AI, for some industries, maybe payments is a complicated one, but I'm sure there are situations where AI could potentially almost do an outbound sale or call. I don't even know under privacy laws what's allowed with that. It's totally not my area, but are people using AI on an outbound sales basis? I'm just curious.
100%. It's in effect, and you may have already received calls.
Really?
And you might not even be aware that it was AI. I'm going to make a prediction as well, David. Mm-hmm. So today we're March 28th, 2025. Mm-hmm. My prediction is that 1 year from now, call centers will be dead.
Oh, wow.
Anybody with a position that is solely like a receptionist type position to handle inbound calls or even to do outbound calls will be completely transformed with AI. And it's already up to speed now, but 1 year from now, I can guarantee you only the old school businesses will still be using traditional people to make outbound calls and to handle inbound calls. AI is that good right now. It can do that right now. So a year from now, it's going to be near perfect.
Okay, Rob, I'm coming back again to this whole AI can do outbound calls and it could do outbound sales. Now, I know you're not ready to do an outbound sale, but you did say that I could do some sort of demo and it could play some sort of call for me. So I think our viewers might appreciate it. Can you tell us about what this demo is and then we'll let's fire away.
Yeah. So this is a demo that I created for anyone to call and do a live demo for their business. So the way it works, the AI will simulate a call for your business. So you're gonna answer two questions, the name of your business and the type of phone calls you receive. And then the AI is gonna jump into a demo and simulate that actual scenario. It's gonna answer a call as your business, and then you're gonna ask it any questions you want. You could go as crazy or as conservative as you want with the questions. Does that make sense?
What is the meaning of life? Okay, let's do it. I'm excited for this.
Okay, let's do it. I'm gonna call him now.
Okay, I have my phone here. Hello?
This call will be recorded for quality purposes.
Thanks for calling The Best Media. Are you here to test out our AI voice demo?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Let's get started. What's the name of your business?
Merchant Accounts Canada.
Great. And what kind of business do you run at Merchant Accounts Canada?
It's a payment processing company.
Fantastic. What's the most common type of call you receive from customers?
Sales or support, both.
Perfect. Now here's the exciting part. This demo will show you how an AI voice assistant could handle inbound calls for your business, freeing up your time and making sure you never miss an opportunity. Are you ready to dive into the live demo?
Absolutely.
Hello, and thank you for calling Merchant Accounts Canada. My name is Sarah, and I'm the AI voice assistant for Merchant Accounts Canada. You can talk to me just like you would my human owners. How can I assist you today?
Well, I want to know about opening a merchant account for my business.
I'd be happy to help with that. Could you please provide a bit more information about your business so I can direct you to the right specialist?
Sure. I sell hockey sticks online on my website, hockeysticks.com.
Great. I'll connect you with a specialist who can assist you with setting up a merchant account for your online hockey stick business. That wraps up the demo. How do you feel about how I handled that call? Pretty smooth, right?
Yeah, you didn't fumble it. Yeah, no, Rob.
Uh-huh, glad to hear it.
We're all unemployed in 5 years, Rob. It's so good. That is wild. Uh-huh. Thank you, Sarah. Wow, Rob. So in a way, it was regurgitating words, but I have a feeling it did know what a merchant account was. It did know what a hockey stick was. Am I correct about that?
Yeah. And, you know, you could have even got a little bit more in depth and asked, you know, you could have tried to break it, you know what I mean? And ask some really crazy questions. And it is so, like, by default, out of the box, it usually answers well and professionally, and it minimizes the foot in the mouth situations. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but they're minimal. And whenever it happens, we can always optimize it so it doesn't happen in the future.
And which AI was powering that, out of curiosity?
So that is, let's see, which one do I use? I got so many options here. I believe that's ChatGPT-4, I believe.
Okay. Well, it was fascinating. That was interesting.
Yeah. Honestly, you didn't even scratch the surface. Like, you could get really deep into the woods there, and it's continues to blow me away every day.
Wow, that is just pretty unfathomable to me. I mean, so that's a strong prediction, And maybe that is your answer, but I have a question I was going to ask you, so I'm going to ask it anyways. What's the thing that you're most looking forward to or most excited about when it comes to AI in the future? Is it the thing that you just talked about, or do you have another vision even further down the road?
I feel that AI is going to allow us to rapidly innovate on levels we've never been able to before. I'll give you a quick example. So I myself am not a programmer, and I've never been able to program anything. But now I'm able to take JSON code, put it into ChatGPT, it corrects any errors, and then I just copy and paste into these automation platforms. And I don't even know what JSON is. I don't know anything about that, but I can tell you just copying and pasting code and saying to ChatGPT is something as simple as, can you correct this code, etc. It knows it's JSON. It does it for you. It can do this with HTML. It can any code, basically. So the programmers, you know, they are needed, but they're going to be needed in a different capacity once, you know, a few years pass. Yeah, they won't be needed like before. Things are going to change drastically when it comes to that.
Interesting. And I the even same have a way, few though.
Other predictions.
Sure, let's hear them.
I have a few other predictions I love to mention too, but I don't know if now's the right time for that. But
I think it's the perfect time, Rob. Hit us.
So healthcare, in 5 years from now, I think it's probably three, but 5 years from now, when you go see a doctor, it won't be a human. It'll be some sort of a robot that will analyze you quickly and more accurately than a human can. Humans get tired. Humans are emotional. Humans make errors. And the AI, once it has enough data, it will literally be more accurate than a human and more quick to diagnose. And so, yeah, my prediction 5 years from now, doctors and the whole healthcare experience will transform. 5 years from now, we will not be in any vehicles that are driven by humans. They will be completely autonomous. And we probably won't even have the need to own vehicles, because I'd love to ask you own a vehicle, right, David?
I certainly do. And I love driving. I even have a manual transmission, because I just enjoy it.
Nice.
So,
I do too.
Maybe it'll give people the choice. It wouldn't, because I would like to believe that AI is not Skynet. It's not going to take our choice away, right? But, I hijacked your question. Please, I do have a car, so where are we going?
No, but I guess the point that I was trying to make was how, you know, in a 24-hour day, how much of it is actually being driven? Less than 5% of your day, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, because I've worked from a home office forever. So yeah, for me, it's
And it's really the Tesla model that, you know, they're coming out with. So basically, Tesla's creating a Airbnb style network for all their vehicles, so that, let's say you take your vehicle, you drive it to work, and then you're at work for 8 hours. Well, that vehicle could be connected to a Airbnb type network that it's making money for you. And basically it's going around and basically doing Uber drives. You know, it's driving people around, and then you're finished, your shift finishes at 5 o'clock. That vehicle will be back in your parking spot at 5 o'clock when you need to drive it home. And then it drives you home. And let's say you're home for the rest of the night. Now that's going back into the pool of available potential Ubers, and it's making money for you. So just another
I have a weird question.
Way that, yeah.
Rob, you keep giving me these crazy ideas, and my ideas are often crazy, okay? You're in Montreal for a weekend, okay? And it's a fun weekend. You're going out, you have dinner, you have a bunch of drinks. Now, normally, you would just pay for a hotel in Montreal. But sometimes, you would rather be home. But, you know, one, you're drinking, and two, it's like a pain. But like, is there a version of this where there's like a Tesla cargo van with like a TV and a bed in it, and it's cheaper than a hotel room, and then you'll be, so as opposed to getting a hotel in Montreal, you get the bedroom in the cargo van, and the van just drives you home. Like, is this just seems, there's so much stuff that just seems ridiculous to me, but would also be, people would use it, I think.
I've never heard of that concept before, but I almost feel like it's already being in the, it's already being developed as we speak. I feel someone's doing it, and I think absolutely that will be one of the developments for sure.
I mean, it just occurred to me, because don't get me wrong, I love staying in a foreign city and I love being at a hotel, but sometimes you want to be home, but you just don't feel like driving.
Yeah.
But if you could just sit in like an RV basically and someone drove you home, that would be super nice. I don't know. It's where my mind went, but
yeah. So no, that's
this
excellent.
Is a fascinating. Well, maybe we'll that idea can be patented. It'll be our next project. But okay, so I have a question for you. You have a lot of experience in this area. You have a lot of good advice to give, and businesses could obviously try and tackle it on their own, but there is a reason to seek out expertise. It's why if you're in a legal matter, you don't usually just walk in front of a judge and wing it. You usually hire a lawyer. So if people want to learn about how to take advantage of AI, and maybe they could help, let's assume they have a specific problem, whether it's email or organization or whatever it is. How can they get in touch with you? And maybe you could tell a little bit about what you specialize in for our viewers.
Yeah, so my website's thebestmedia.com. So you could always get a hold of me through that. Definitely the easiest way to get a hold of me. And the best way to get started, I think, is just to jump in, you know, start using the free models. And I think also it's having some sort of a coach or an expert that you could leverage and fast track your learning and focus, I think, would be essential, because there's so many ways that you could use AI and artificial intelligence, but to use it effectively and efficiently would require you to leverage someone else's experience. So listening or learning from people that have already done what you want to do in terms of learning, that would be your fast track to that. You could, why build a tire if it's already made, right? So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, it'd be, hey viewer, you can go out and learn all the lessons painfully yourself, or you can just pay for the benefit of somebody's expertise. They've taken those scrapes, they can help you avoid at least some of them. And if you're a tiny, pure startup, maybe you can't. But if you're a business owner that knows they have a problem and they're seeking expertise, when you do that type of consulting, how long is a typical engagement? How long does it take to get going? Like, how long does it take from the idea to implementation? And I know you're going to say it varies, because of course it varies depending on the complexity, but a typical, maybe you could give an example and then the rough time frame it took to, like, not for it to just get implemented, but it to be implemented and have learned and been truly beneficial for that business owner.
Yeah, the pace at which we can deploy is literally 24 hours or less now, believe it or not, for most solutions. And I'll give you a great example, a real life example. So 6 months ago, we would have to, I'm going to call it, program or give the right instructions to AI to learn your brand, to understand your brand voice, to understand the services or products that a business offers, et cetera, et cetera. So now, instead of inputting all of these instructions and programs, all we need to do is create a link or give the AI a link to your Google Business Profile. And your Google Business Profile usually has a link to your website that explains all about your business, B, the type of services you offer, and it links to all the essential information about your business. So with that one data point of a Google Business Profile, we could literally create a brand voice that is very consistent with your website, with your social media, and all of that. And, you know, in the past, like I said, you'd have to input all of these things independently. Now it's a matter of entering your Google Business Profile. And if that Google Business Profile is updated and relevant, now you have an AI system that already knows about your business, knows how to reply, etc.
That's it's incredible, Rob. This is such a broad topic. Perhaps I could have you on again sometime. We could do a demo. I've already learned so much. And basically what I learned is it is a tool. And like any tool, you have to figure out how it can best be used in your business. But I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on today. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, this was great. I had a great time. And I feel like we're catching up on old friends catching up, and it was a great discussion. I'd love to come back and talk about it more. And I'm sure there'll be new things that I could add and just hopefully blow your mind again.
Oh, it sounds like just give it a week. Exactly.
Exactly.
Perfect. Thank you, Rob.
No problem.